Right. So tonight, what I thought I'd do is cover relaxation. It's something that is just shockingly misunderstood. Relaxation, unbelievably. And it's also something that has been captured wholesale by the consumer society. All sorts of things are associated to relaxation. Sitting down, having a glass of wine, watching the TV, using certain cars or airplanes or trains, holidays, relaxing weekends away, relaxing everything. I had a conversation with someone about interoception. That's our capacity to identify our physiological responses. So, can we actually feel what's going on in our body? Especially, can we feel an emotion? Can we identify what that emotion is? Now, there's just a slight aside here. When it comes to identifying emotions, that doesn't mean that I suggest that you're aware of what the origin of it is. For example, someone can feel anxious and not know why they feel anxious. It's tempting to try to want to dig and to want to have some cause of anxiety that you can pin your anxiety on. But I don't think that's a very useful exercise. The way that I deal with emotions is I have a name for the emotion. Sometimes it's obvious what's caused it. Sometimes emotions are also very, they're almost hidden. Here's one. You probably heard about fear of success. It's a very, very real thing. Notice this, it popped up on my YouTube feed the other day. And there's this internet guru, and she's chatting on about fear of success, how it's not real. And she decided that there's an association. For example, let's say you encounter somebody who's a very difficult person. They might be incredibly aggressive or whatever, and they've got a specific sort of hairstyle. What will happen is your brain will associate that specific hairstyle with that difficult, aggressive person, and wherever you see the hairstyle, your body will respond, understandably, with anxiety and stress because of that. So that's a thing called an association. And she seemed to think that fear of success was because of associations. Well, it could be, but it's far more likely to be down to the fact that if you're successful, you will be compared with successful people. And so subsequently, if you have a perspective of yourself, then you, that's anything other than that of a successful person, then the imposter syndrome kicks in, and then that's how the fear of success comes about. So in that case, for example, it might take you a little while to figure that one out. So you might be aware that there's a fear of success and not actually know what the origin of is, what the cause of it is. That's an emotion that you can identify quite well, but you don't know what the cause is. And the other thing is you'll have an emotion. Typical one is general anxiety, what I refer to as general anxiety. I'm anxious, don't know why I'm anxious. Chances are there's something in the background that you're not aware of. It's a subliminal response, probably. But it doesn't really matter. It's a feeling in the body. So when we deal with emotions in meditation, we don't actually need to know why we're feeling a particular way, and we don't really need to know the origin of that feeling or even identify it any further than a very broad brush feeling. Goes for all emotions, because life's not just about anxiety and stress. There's all sorts of other emotions. as I said, I was speaking to this other individual that does a similar sort of thing to me, works with people. And they pointed out that, you know, a large proportion of the people they deal with can't either identify any feelings, emotions, or have a very limited level of interoception. You know, can't, for example, tell you how their hands feel. Not unusual. So if you're one of those people, you don't worry. You know, there's not, it's not a bad thing. It is definitely a modern world thing. So it's our modern economy, society, culture, the way things are, the way our lives are. What we tend to do is put our body, especially the feelings, second. And there may be a lot of good reasons why we suppress how we feel. One reason is chronic pain. Another is some sort of trauma that has yet to be resolved. And so we don't want to go there. And we switch off from it, we distract ourselves. And so this low level of interoception grows. And it can lead to
a thing called alexithymia.
Through whatever circumstances, we've suppressed the sense of our physiological experience to the point where it's difficult to know what's going on. What are the feelings? What are they? How do I deal with them? And so on. Now, if you're somebody like that, what you do is you relax. That's the first thing. Yeah. Relax. Literally. Now, I started this pointing out that the concept of relaxation has been captured by advertisers. For example, in school, it's very unlikely you would have learned how to relax. All of these really simple things that they can teach kids and they don't do it. It's just really unhelpful. Now, if you are not getting much sensory input on your
level of relaxation,
there are a number of things that you can do to get an idea of your stress level and also get an idea of how successfully you're regulating it. Because sometimes, for all of us, we need to relax. So the way to look at it, there's a dial. At one end is relaxation, at the other end is stress. And the stress management tools I teach are tools that help us move that dial towards relaxation. So it's the same structures in the body, thing called the autonomic nervous system. Basically, it's moving into relaxation, or it's moving into stress. So one way that you can be aware, now you have to be very circumspect about this, is to try out these practices and see what effect it has on your heart rate. Now, the thing to realize about all of this is that the heart rate fluctuates really a lot during the course of the day. You know, you have something to eat, it's going to bump it up by, you know, 5 or 10 beats a minute, depending on what you eat. And then what your experiences happen to be and so on and so forth. But what you're looking for is some sort of reduction. Now, the single most powerful practice to regulate your stress level is a thing called pranayama. Prana means breath or spirit. Ayama means extend. Here's the caveat. The caveat for this practice is that if you have any cardiac, cardiorespiratory or respiratory issues or any other chronic illness or illness that you might wish to be concerned about, you should do is sit this out, because it doesn't matter that much, because there's a handful of other little practices that work almost as well as this. And we can try those out. Now, here's the thing, right? I have high interoception. It's not 10 out of 10, but it's like 9, 9.5 out of 10. But I can do this practice and not feel much different. But I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that it's really pushing my physiology over to relaxation. And what it is literally extending your breath, just extending your breath. Now, those of you that I've taught for a while, you know how to do that. The easiest way is to make your out breath audible, because it's the out breath that we're extending. When we breathe in, we want to breathe into our belly and push the belly out, but we're not breathing in as hard as we would if we were going to dive into some water. You know, you do that and you fill your lungs up, and what you're doing is you're creating a lot of tension in your chest so that if you dive in, you hit the water, it doesn't knock the wind out of you. We're not going to do that. This is a deep breath into the belly, and then you extend it with snake breath, which is, it's a quiet hissing sound. And you extend it for as long as you can until it begins to become uncomfortable. And then you stop. And you can do two or three of those. And some of you may notice your stress reduce. Others may not. Practice that now for the next couple of minutes. Okay, and now we move into the 4-6 breaths, or the way that I do it is 3-7. We only need to do this for a little while. And 4-6 is we're breathing in for 4 seconds. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000. Breathing out for 6, 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5, 1,000, 6, 1,000, 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5, 1,000, 6, 1,000. And we'll do that for a minute or so. And now just allow your mind to be free. And allow your breath to adopt a natural rhythm. And you're observing the breath. So if you check in with your physiology, your balance, head balance comfortably on top of the spine, elbows by the side, feet flat on the floor or wherever it's comfortable for you, tongue against the back of the top teeth, gently in contact with the sharp part of the bottom teeth, fingers and thumbs very gently in contact in both hands. Just staying in contact with the breath. You'll probably find that this is slightly different to what you're used to, unless pranayama is something that you start your meditations with. If there's any tension, any pressure, any stress, gently using the out breath to release it, connecting to your out breath, noticing it. Move all the way down. Just letting tension drift away with that out breath. A very, very, very light touch between the first finger and thumb.
begin to drift off, remember that staying with the feeling will keep you in the hypnagogic state. Which is a restorative state. If you were dreaming in any way, you'll forget that probably. And so this isn't dreams, it's the wafty semi-dream, semi-waking state that sometimes occurs, where you know you're not fully dreaming yet. But for most people, it's pleasurable and sometimes it's just neutralizing. So if you get pulled into the hypnagogic state, your head nods, you wake up, you don't force yourself awake. You train yourself to become familiar and comfortable with that state, noticing how you feel. Going back into exactly the same meditation in the same way and holding on to that feeling, and you'll be drawn back into it. And reconnect to our physiology with the de-stress meditation. Bringing your attention to the sensation in the forehead. If you can't feel anything there, what you do is place the palm of your hand close to the forehead without actually touching. And allow yourself to be open and aware to that feeling. And there's a slight tingling feeling from the contact between the palm and the tiny little hairs on the forehead. And then when you move your palm away, you're aware of the sensations in the forehead. So then breathing in normally, breathing out, releasing tension from the forehead. Just allowing it to drift away, whatever tension there is. With every out breath. Breathing in. Focus your attention on your forehead. Breathing out. Scanning down eyebrows, eyes and cheeks. Breathing in forehead, breathing out. Scanning down over the eyebrows, eyes and cheeks. As if somebody's stroking their fingers down your face from the forehead to the cheeks. Breathing in, bringing your attention to the sensation in the nostrils as you breathe in. Breathing out, scanning down nostrils, mouth and lips, jaw and throat. Breathing in, sensation on the nostrils, breathing out. Mouth and lips, jaw and throat. And if your tongue's up against the back of the top teeth, gently in contact with the sharp part of the bottom teeth. That's helping to relax your jaw. Breathing in, bringing your attention to the base of the skull. And then breathing out, scanning down both shoulder muscles, down to where the arms are hanging. And as you breathe out, allow the weight of the arms to pull the shoulders down. Breathing in, base of the skull, breathing out. Scanning down over the shoulder muscles on both sides. Breathing in and out. We're noticing the chest and back expanding and contracting. Same thing here. Focusing on the out breath, releasing tension from the chest and back. Noticing the abdomen
rising and falling in the belly, expanding and contracting. The belly and lower back, the waist and hips and thighs, and buttocks and legs. If you're seated, you're allowing yourself to settle down more deeply into the seat. If you're lying down, you're allowing your hips to open up. Moving back up again, belly rising and falling. Chest and back expanding and contracting. Bringing your attention to the wrists as you breathe in. And then scanning down over the hands and fingers down to the fingertips as you breathe out. Wrists as you breathe in, scanning down through or over or under the hand down to the fingertips as you breathe out. Breathing in, bringing your attention to your forehead, breathing out, scanning down, allowing the relaxation and breath to trickle down through the entire body, down to the tips of your fingers and down to your toes. Breathing in the forehead, breathing out, scanning down the body. Down to the tips of your fingers, down to your toes, and down through the ground. And allowing your mind to be free, noticing the rising and falling of the breath. Noticing the sound of the bell moving through time. Whenever you're ready, gently return your attention to your surroundings.
So I think that will probably have relaxed most of you. I hope it has. It's relaxed me. And I hope that will contribute towards a great night's sleep.